Levy, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. I wanted to talk today about the Kedusha of a Beit HaKnesset and Beis HaMedrash. We start with Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, which is the archetype of Kedusha of a place in Torah. And the Kedusha of a Beis HaMikdash, we know, started with the Mishkan, and then it went over into Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's a very interesting question about the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash, Bisman HaZeh. Is there a Kedusha of the Torah of Beis HaMikdash, Bisman HaZeh? And we have two Gemaros, both of which say there is a, it seems to say there is a Kedusha of the Torah of a Beis HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. That's Gemara Yevamos and Davav Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Eshapsosai Tishmoru Es Mikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. You shall keep Shabbos and have awe, fear of the Beis HaMikdash, I'm Hashem. So Mash and Gemara has a drash. Why is the Torah put these two mitzvos in the same pasuk? So the drash is Ma Shabbos Leolam Af Yiras Migdash Leolam. Just like Shabbos is forever, because it says the Dor Seichem by Shabbos, that all generations B'chol Moshe Seichem, wherever you live. So in the same way that Shabbos is forever, in the same way the base of the din of Yiras Beis HaMikdash is also forever. So that clearly seems to say that even if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, as unfortunately our situation today, but the mitzvah of Yiras Beis HaMikdash keeps on going, just like Shabbos keeps on going. Though we're in Galus, we have to keep Shabbos. So therefore, in this pasuk, we see that there's an equation between the mitzvah of Yiras Beis HaMikdash and Shmirah Shabbos. So therefore, the conclusion is, there's Yiras Beis HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. Yiras Beis HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. So, for example, there's a din. I don't know how many people keep that din, but beds, when you put your beds in the bedroom, should not face, we're east, west to the Beis HaMikdash, your bedroom beds should not face east-west, they should rather face north-south. So those of you who are redecorating your bedrooms and buying a new house, try to do it, if you can, to put your beds north-south. I mean, there are some shittas who say that the mitzvah still applies, even though the mitzvah, obviously the mitzvah does apply, but the question whether this particular application of the mitzvah, which the Gemara says about the position of one's beds, whether it's not their cheretz, that a bed should face the Beis HaMikdash. So, whether that applies or not, that's a question. But if you want to be a machmir, and you're at Beis HaMikdash, it's a nice mitzvah to be machmir, you should turn your beds around, make it north-south instead of east-west. So that's one Gemara in Yevamos Davav, that there is a din of Beis HaMikdash and halachas of Beis HaMikdash actively applying nowadays, even though the bayis itself has been destroyed. Now there's another, actually there's a Mishnah in Masechta Megillah, I believe it's Daf Chavav. The Mishnah says that if a Beit HaKnesset, if a shul is destroyed, people should still not use the area as a shortcut to cut through, or use it as a garbage dump, because it says in the pasuk, "Vashimosi is mikdash sheichem." I will destroy your mikdash, your bate mikdash. So the way the pasuk is written and the way that it seems to say, that we interpret it that way, "Afo pishahem shomemim bikdushasam heim omdim." It says, "Hashimosi is mikdash sheichem." So the interpretation the Mishnah gives is not it was a Mikdash and it got destroyed. I will destroy your Mikdash, which exists even after it's destroyed. So after pishem shomemim, harem b'kedushasam. There's a kedusha of Beis HaMikdash without the bayis, without the house. So this is a second source that the kedusha of Beis HaMikdash is not confined to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. We have to build the Beis HaMikdash to get it kadosh, but once we build the Beis HaMikdash, even if the structure itself is destroyed, the Mako has a Kedusha D'Oraisa. That's one of the reasons that, for example, nowadays, the issue of going up onto the Har HaBayis is an issue of an Issa D'Oraisa. Because if we would say that the Kedusha of the Torah Beis HaMikdash is only when you have the Bayis, the structure, so then the only issue of going up for someone who's Tameh, and all of us are basically Tameh because we're Tameh Mace. Somewhere along the line, we went to funerals and we were in the same building with the Mace. So we have a problem. We cannot go up to the Beis HaMikdash area without a Parah Adumah to become Tor. You just cannot go to the Mikvah. You have to have Zrikas Efer of the Parah Adumah. We don't have a Parah Adumah. So everybody is considered to be Tamei Mace. Therefore, Tamei Mace would be an Issa D'Raisa. If the Makam HaMikdash is a Kedusha D'Raisa, then the Issa of going on the Makam HaMikdash should be an Issa D'Raisa. So it's a very serious problem. It's a Kares. It's a very serious Avera. It's a Kares, like eating on Yom Kippur or driving a car on Shabbos. So it's very serious. You just can't just say, you know, I want to make a demonstration on how a Raya is. I want to show it's Jewish. Or I want to do something else. I want to do an archaeological survey. So it's an issa, the question of an issa d'raisa. Were it only an issa d'rabbanon, which the Ravid paskins, he doesn't paskin these gemaras of an issa d'raisa. The Ravid paskins that the kedusha basically shalom d'rabbanon. So then you have a lot of kulos. No, for kavod abrios, the Gemara in Bracha says you can violate any issa d'rabbanan. We pass on that Gemara, and so if we come up and say, well, it's the honor of the Jewish people for people to walk around in the Beis HaMikdash area. It's an insult to the Jewish people that only goyim go there, not Jews. So you have a pretty strong argument that were it just an issa d'rabbanan for kavod abrios, and especially kavod of Am Yisrael, which is the ultimate kavod abrios, a national. National pride, national dignity. I mean, enough stories in Tanakh that kings went to war because the nation was insulted by some other nation. So for the kavod of Am Yisrael, you could make an argument, you could go on to the Beis HaMikdash area in order to restore national dignity. It's only an issa d'rabbanan, so you're allowed to violate the issa d'rabbanan for kavod abrios. But unfortunately, there's only one sheet of the Ravid, but the vast majority of the poskim paskin, there are two gemaras. There's two gemaras. There's a gemara in Yevamos, and there's a gemara, a mishnah, in Masechta Megillah, which say that this is Nisa D'Raisa, that the Kedusha exists in the D'Raisa. Now the Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he quotes both gemaras. And the question is, why does he quote both gemaras? I'm sorry, the Ma'am Akomos, they were done on the run, so a lot of things I'm missing, the Ma'am Akomos. Take my word for it. In Perek Shishi from Beis HaBechira, the Ramon quotes both sources. He says that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is Manazez the Raisa, and the Rambam is a very startling Chiddush in that halacha there, in first halacha in Perek Shishi. He says, Lefichach, ani omer, shemakrivim kabanos bizman hazeh. Because all we know, actually, from the Gemara, is that there's an isser. There's a din, you have to have year of the Beis HaMikdash bizman hazeh. But it doesn't say, necessarily, in those two sources, that you can be makriv kabanos. But the Rambam, based on other Gemaras, says that you can be makif kabanos bezman hazeh. In other words, the kedusha is so strong, it's not just the kedusha of a surim, that you have to have a certain level of restraint when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's even kedusha in a positive sense. You can have a functioning Beis HaMikdash basically without a structure, without a bias. So he says, you can bring kabanos without a Beis HaMikdash. You just go up and you make a mizbeach. The mizbeach has to be done according to the Masorah, the tradition, the design of the mizbeach. You have to have a kevesh, you have to have a ramp, you have to have four horns, koronos. And if you can go up and make a very flimsy structure, just put it together, a portable. You can walk up with a portable mizbeach and just unfold it. You can bring kabanos bezman hazeh. It's such a serious Rambam that there was a huge discussion pre-Zionism, probably, and in fact, it's really the original birth of Zionism and religious Zionism actually came out of this discussion. It's a discussion between Rebbe Akiva Eiger and the Chassam Sofer about not just can you bring kabanos according to the Psak of Rambam, and which they consider to be the operative Psak. Not only can you bring kabanos midoraisa bizman hazeh, but they felt that you're really obligated, there's a chiyuv to bring kabanos, because why did that chiyuv go away? If there would be no kedushas beis hamikdash midoraisa, so we could say that chiyuvim of kabanos, karban tamid, karban musaf, karban pesach, if I have a kedushas beis hamikdash, so these mitzvahs come into effect. So these are mitzvos which are no heges, no agos, bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakaya. When the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, there's no Kedusha from the Torah, so these mitzvahs won't operate, because the Torah doesn't make us do something in a vacuum. So there's no Kedusha deraisa, there's no chiyuv. However, since the Rambam paskins, and most of the poskim paskin like him, that there is a din deraisa of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash without that structure, and the Rambam says you can bring Kabanos Bizman Hazeh, he says you can. Therefore, these great achronim poskim said, why is it only a rishus? It should really be a chiyuv, because the Torah doesn't say you have a voluntary option to bring a korban tamid or a korban pesach or a korban musaf. The Torah obligates the Jewish people to do it. So, even though the Jewish people are dispersed, but we should organize ourselves and do it, because we're obligated to do it. That's what Rebbe Kivega and the Chassam Sofer fundamentally felt. And their student, Hirsch Kalischer, went further. He was the founder of religious Zionism, and he said he's going to do what his Rebbe's says theoretically should be done. They didn't sit down at Kivega and Chassam Sofer and organize a Zionist movement. But Rav Hirsch Kalischer, who was a Talmud of both of the Gedolim, said, I will do what my Rabbeim said we should do. So he organized religious Zionism, and he said the reason he's doing it is in order to be makriv kabanos. Somehow that idea got lost along the way. It's not anymore part of the religious Zionism agenda. But that was the founding principle of religious Zionism. Rav Hirsch Kalischer was, we are organizing Am Yisrael to bring kabanos. And he writes in his books that if Am Yisrael would bring a korban Pesach, then he's sure Mashiach would come immediately. So for him, this was the way to force Mashiach to come. Because of the Jews, and the truth is, we probably would need Mashiach to come, because the Arabs and everybody else would declare war for bringing a Korban Pesach and the Holy Mosque area. So he said, but he said, forget Arab, he said, if Am Yisrael will have the mitzvah of bringing a Korban Pesach, that'll do so much in heaven that wherever the decrees are, they'll all be null and void, and God will send Mashiach right away. So that was the reason he made the religious Zionism movement. So the Rambam comes up with this very important point, that we can bring kabanos, and the Achronim are saying we should bring kabanos, So that's one halacha. And for that halacha, he quotes the pasuk in Masechta Megillah, Hashimosis Migdash Shechem, Afal Pisha Migdash Shomeim, Harehu Bikdushasa. It's still Kadosh, even though it's Shomeim. A couple of halachas later, in the same Perek Shishi of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, the Rambam says that nowadays we're obligated to have Yira from the Beis HaMikdash. We should have all of the Makam HaMikdash, because it says, as Shapsosai Tishmoru, or Mikdashi Tiro, of course the Gemara on Yavamas, Davav, it says you should have keep Shabbos. And the same pasuk says you're supposed to have fear and awe of the Mikdash, Ma Shabbos Liolam, Af Yiras HaMikdash Liolam. So as the Shabbos is forever, we should have Yira of the Beis HaMikdash forever. So the question is, why does the Rambam have to have two separate halachos and two separate psukim? One halacha, he says, you can bring korbanos b'zman hazeh, and he says you can bring ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim and eat the ma'aser sheni b'zman hazeh, because of the pasuk of Hashimosis Migdashechem, Afapishem Shomamim, Harem B'Kdushasam. And a couple of halachas later, it's another Gemara, but he quotes the other pasuk, you should do Yiras HaMikdash, we should have fear of the Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh. We should have fear of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's a pasuk of Eshapsosai Tishmoru, U'Mikdashi Tiro. Rising in a different pasuk. Why is the pasuk Hashimosis Migdashechem not good enough to tell me that I have to do the mitzvah of Yiras Beis HaMikdash? Yiras Beis HaMikdash is one of a package, I don't know, 50, 75 mitzvos between Aseis and Los Aseis and the Rambam's list. Which have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, Kabanos and the Bikurim and Ma'aser Sheni, and to build the Beis HaMikdash and Yiras HaMikdash. All of this is all part of the big section of the Torah, which talks, the whole Sefer Vayikra is dealing with the dinim and mitzvahs of Beis HaMikdash. So in 613, you get 75 or so mitzvahs. So why does the Rambam have to have a special din that this particular mitzvah of Yiras HaMikdash has a separate pasuk, Shapsosai Tishmoru, Mikdashi Tiro, Shabbos Liolam, Yiras HaMikdash Liolam? Why does he single out this one mitzvah as a separate din to have to do this b'zman hazeh? We know the general rule that the Beis HaMikdash is kadosh, afal pi shehem shomimim, harehem b'kdushasam. The Mikdashim are kadosh, even though they're destroyed in the pasuk Hashimosi. Why does he have to give me the other halacha of Yiras HaMikdash based on Shabbos? So, I'm going to tell you over what Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, said on this question. In general, the whole shiur is basically his shiur. And it'll be published in my next Rishimel Shur of Sakhti Avamis, if I ever get it finished. So, so what the Rav said was like this. He said, there are two issues when we talk about having a kedusha of a Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh. There are two issues. There's a universal issue and there's a local issue. The universal issue is, does kedushas Beis HaMikdash continue in the makom of the Har HaBayis? Does it stay in that mountain without a bayis, without a structure, without a house? Is the kedushas Beis HaMikdash connected specifically to the bayis, to the house itself, or does the kedusha go into the makom, into the physical ground of the place? So that's a universal issue, because if we'll say that it doesn't go into the makom, it doesn't go into the place, it's just in the bayis, but not in the ground, so the bayis is destroyed, that's it. If the kedusha goes into the makom, so I can have a kedusha of Beis HaMikdash in the makom of the Har HaBayis, in the place, even though there's no bayis itself. So that's a universal issue. That's the first pasuk, Hashimosis Migdashechem, The place is kadosh, even though the bayis is a shamein, the bayis is destroyed. But then there's a local question. We have 75 or whatever mitzvos which have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So now I have a local question. Take, let's say, Yiras HaMikdash. I have to have fear for the Beis HaMikdash. But who says, let's grant on the universal level, the Makom has Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. The place has Kedusha. It says the Pasuk, Hashimosis Mikdashechem, Alpishem Shomimim, Harein B'Kedushasam. However, how do I know that this specific mitzvah of Yiras HaMikdash is related to the Makom HaMikdash? Maybe the din of Yiras HaMikdash is related to the Beis HaMikdash. Because even if we paskin, as the Rambam paskins, that there is a Kedushas Makom Beis HaMikdash, there's a Kedusha in the place, but certainly he will agree that if you build the bayis, you build the house, you have another level of Kedusha. There's a Kedusha in the bayis. There's a Kedusha in the house itself. So, every specific mitzvah which we now have in the array of mitzvahs which have to do with Makom Beis HaMikdash, we have to categorize them. Are these mitzvahs related to the Makom, or are these related to the bayis? Just because we know there's a Kedushas Makom, that doesn't necessarily mean that a specific local mitzvah is going to be Noheges B'Zman HaZeh, because we still don't have a Kedushas bayis. We have a Kedushas Makom B'Zman HaZeh. We don't have a Kedushas bayis. So therefore, the Rambam has a separate pasuk. Shepsosai Tishmo Mikdoshi Tiro, Shema Shabbos LaOlam, of Yiras HaMikdash LiOlam, that the mitzvah of Yiras HaMikdash does relate to the Makom HaMikdash, to the place, to the mountain, does not relate to the bayis, to the house, but to the mountain, and therefore I should do Yiras HaMikdash, I should be careful with Yiras HaMikdash, Bizman HaZeh. And the Rav is very interesting discussion now about a couple of the mitzvos, the many, many things to talk about. I just mentioned a couple of things that he discussed about in light of this distinction between the Kedusha of the Makom and the Kedusha of the Bayis. The Rambam, when he brings down that din, that you bring Karbonos Bizman HaZeh, he says, Makrivim Karbonos Bizman HaZeh, U... And you bring Maisa Sheni. You can eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim with a Kedusha Daraisa, because of the Kedusha Daraisa in the Makom, Makom HaMikdash. It means the Kedusha Daraisa on the mountain, so therefore you can bring a carbon, and you can eat Maisa Sheni in the Jerusalem area, because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is really a Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Kedusha of Machane Yisrael. So I can eat the Maisa Sheni, actually not where we think Yerushalayim is, but in what's the present-day Silwan. It's called Ir David, the southern slope. So you go down into Ir David, and very few Jews there, it's mainly Arabs. You're in the old Yerushalayim of the time of David HaMelech, and that's the place where we can eat Maisa Sheni. Bizman HaZeh. Can't eat Maisa Sheni in the Renaissance Hotel, but you can eat Maisa Sheni in Silwan. That's what the Rambam paskin. So, but what's interesting is he does not mention Bikur. He doesn't say that one of the things that you bring to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim, the Karnim, is Bikurim. He does not mention that in that halacha. So the Rav claimed that Bikurim, according to the Rambam, would not be brought Bizman HaZeh, even though we would bring Maisa Sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim, but we would not bring Bikurim, because the Rambam leaves it out. And he says, if you look in the Psukim in the Chumash, when the Torah speaks about bringing Maisa Sheni, it says, Kamta, Valisa, La Makom, go to the Makom, go to the place, where God rests, and Reveisem Shama, you should bring there Zaloseichem, Zevcheichem, and Maisreichem, Masroseichem, your Maisa, so it's Maisa Sheni. So, but another, it says in those psukim there, I believe it's in Pashas Re'ei, so there it says, doesn't it, it describes the it describes Yerushalayim as a makom where Hashem is. It doesn't use anything more specific. It's sort of a vague. It's a place where God is. Go to that place that God chose, the Kol Shivteichem, the place which He chose, and go there, and bring these things and eat them over there. V'chaltan, and you should eat it. When you, in the Pasha of Bikurim, which is in Kisavo, there it says, Tavi Beis Hashem Alokecha. You should bring the Bikurim to the house of God. So there in Bikurim, the Pasuk does say Beis Hashem. It doesn't just say Makom Asher Bocha Bo Hashem. God chose the place, a Makom. There the Torah uses specifically the term Tavi. You should bring Bikurim Atzacha to the Beis Hashem. Beis Hashem. So that's clear that you need a bias. You just can't go to the makom with Bikurim. Bikurim has to have a bias. Now there's another question which he discussed in this sense, is there was a famous thing which Rabbi Chaim Zimmerman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, made a big issue about. He was a Levi, so he wanted to reconstitute the mitzvah of Shmiras Beis HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, one of the mitzvahs of Beis HaMikdash is that the Mikdash has to have watchmen, has to have shomrim. And the shomrim are the Levim. Levim. Half of Sheva Levi is a shomrim, shoarim, they take care of the gates. And half the Beis Levim are mishorim, the singers. How Soloveitchik, which means nightingale, a good singer, that family which couldn't sing at all but could learn very well became Soloveitchik, I don't know. But they felt they came from the singing Levium. I think they're more from the shomrim, but somebody got mixed up along the way. So you have to watch, there's a mitzvah. So if a person's a Levi, wow, he has an incredible opportunity. He can stand guard right at the base, God's house, the base of Mikdash. Imagine you have a chance to be a guard at the White House. Wouldn't you jump at the opportunity? If you had a chance to be part of the Queen of England's Royal Guards, wouldn't you jump at the opportunity? Or the Royal Mounted Police of Canada, you watch the Parliament building. Rather, what big covered, I'm a showman. So, here every Levi can be a showman of the ultimate palace of the greatest king, the king of all kings, the prime minister of all prime ministers, the president of all presidents, God Almighty, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bar Olam, Melech Malchem Lachim, you can be a showman. So Rabbi Chaim Zimmerman said, well, 6 day war, we have the kotel, we have everything, we have to do it. So he had column in the Jewish press. So he asked all the Jewish press readers who are Levian to send in their names, get into the registry, and he's going to create Mishmaros. Mishmaros, like there was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, to watch the Makom. I don't know why it wasn't successful, because if I were a Levi, I would go. I don't know. But anyway, he was trying. So the Rav said that really it's wrong, al pi halacha. Because if you look in the Rambam, in the mitzvah of Shmiras Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says you should set up guards for the Beis HaMikdash, and these guards are Levim. And then he adds from the Gemara. The Gemara says this. He quotes from the Gemara: "Ein adome paltarim shel melech sheyesh lo shomrim lepaltarim shel melech she'ein lo shomrim." He says you can't compare the palace of a king which has guards around it to a palace of a king which doesn't have guards. And he adds that the guards are not for real watching, just kavod. He says, Hashomim are just for kavod.
He says you can't compare. Imagine you go to the White House and there's no policeman. What kind of a bazillion? It's ridiculous. The policeman, so it's a derech eretz, it's honor for the president, for the White House. So he says, same thing, a makom beis hamikdash, without watchmen, without guards. So it's a bazillion. But if you have guards, so it's a kavod, it's a kavod. Very nice. The question is, why does the Rambam have to throw in this sort of tam ha-mitzvah, some kind of explanation of the mitzvah, into Mishneh Torah? This fits better into Mora Nevuchim. Mora Nevuchim has a long, long, long discussion in all the mitzvahs. Why did Hashem tell us to do this or that? So over there he can explain that you put guards around the Beit HaMikdash in order to put, give it honor. It's not a question that the guard's going to stop anybody. The Levium are not soldiers. They're just, it's an honor guard. That's a nice thing to say in Meron Nevuchim. But in Mishneh Torah, why is the Rambam is passing halacha, he has to tell me that this is really an honor guard. Don't think that whoever the Levi standing there, he's really a protector, a real protection. It's an honor, it's a cover. Why does he have to put this into Hilchos Beis HaBechira? So the Rav said, in order for us to get them to know that this mitzvah only applies when there's a functioning palace. When there's a, Ram says, Ein adom paltrim shel melech, sheyesh lo shomim, paltrim shel melech, b'li shomim. So the palace has to be there. If the palace is there, so it's an extra honor that has honor guards. The palace is in ruins, honor guards. That doesn't make any sense. It's not a cover. So the Rambam is telling me, the way the Rav read the Rambam, a din. It's not just a way to understand the mitzvah, because that would not be in Mishneh Torah. He's telling me a din. The din is that if you have a bias, you have a kedushas bias, a real house, then covered of this bias is to have shomrim, the levium should stand honor guard. But if you don't have the bias, you just have a makom hamikdash, a kedushas makom, there's no din to give the cover of a shomer. So in other words, this mitzvah is not like the mitzvah of Karbonos and Ma'aser Sheni. The mitzvahs of Karbonos and Ma'aser Sheni, those mitzvahs apply in the makom hamikdash, without a base of mikdash, the kedushas makom, the mitzvah of Karbonos. However, the din of cover base of mikdash in the sense of honor guard, that's only when you have a real Beis HaMikdash. On the other side, Yiras Beis HaMikdash, not to do disrespectful things with the Beis HaMikdash, that applies nowadays to the Kedushas Makom. So there's a split. The halacha of having Yira for the Beis HaMikdash, that applies with Bisman HaZeh. And there's a din without a bias, just the Kedushas Makom, like Shabbos, it's the Olam. The din of giving extra cover to the Beis HaMikdash, that has to do with the base of Mikdash, Bibinyano. The base of Mikdash is built up. The Kiyumo, it's standing, it's established, it's a real house, a functioning house. We put in honor guards. We put, otherwise, nowadays, we don't have a Kedusha's base of Mikdash, we don't have a Kedusha's Makom HaMikdash. So even though we have a Chiv Deraisa for Yiras HaMakom, but we don't have a Chiv Deraisa to have Kavod, Miyuchad, extra Kavod, in the sense of Shomrim, honor God, we don't do. That's how the Rav interpreted it. It was very nice pshat, really very nice. Anyway, I don't know, the Chaimzimim didn't agree. Okay, now, I want to talk a little bit about Beis HaKnesses now. Beis HaKnesses is a very, very difficult concept to define halachically. I mean, the dinim are there, but what exactly is this thing called Beis HaKnesses from the perspective of its status? Where is it all coming from, the dinim of a Beis HaKnesses? What is it? One place the Gemara says, I think it's Masechta Megillah, the Gemara calls the base of Knesset a Migdash Ma'at, a small Migdash, but it's one place. Another place the Gemara calls the base of Knesset, it says it's not a base of Knesset, it has a pasuk. It says the base of Migdash is base Hashem, the house of God is a base of Migdash, and base of Knesset, and the pasuk by Nebuchadnezzar when he burnt the city. So it says Nebuchadnezzar burnt the base Hashem, and he burnt Kol Bayis Gadol, every great house. It says Bayis Gadol, it's a base of Knesset. So it's a very, very big problem. What is, to use the Brisker terminology, what is the chalos of a base of Knesset? What is its, where do I categorize it? Am I going to put it into the category of some kind of a base of Mikdash or something else? So this question exploded in a great machlokas between the Ramban and the Ran. The Ran quotes it extensively in the Sechta Megillah, and I have in here some of the sources that they did print. The Ramban says the Ran says it's a din of Beis HaMikdash Midrabbanan. First of all, he says we don't find a Beis HaKnesset in the Torah. We don't find it. So it's a din de Rabbanon, and it was some kind of modeled after Beis HaMikdash Daraisa. Now we do have, archaeologically, we have Batei Knesset, which were functioning during Bayis Sheni. If you make tours of the Galil or Golan, so you can go see Batei Knesset, which were there during Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon, I don't know if they dug up any Beit Knesset from Bayis Rishon. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But they do have what they Knesset from Bayis Sheni. Now, could be, this is idle speculation. I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm talking about now, but I'll just say it anyway. Could be that after that Bayis Rishon, there was just a base of Mikdash. There was no base of Knesset, really. And Chuban Bayis Rishon, the Chuban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar. So then the rabbi said, going into Begalus Bavel, we have to have something to pray in, something to serve Hashem with, some kind of a meeting place. So they created the Beit Knesset, and it has something to do with some kind of Migdash Ma'at, a small base of Migdash. And then it just continued. They came back to Eretz Yisrael and built the second base of Migdash, but they didn't say, okay, no more Beit Knesset. You have a Beit Knesset continuous. That's why we find Beit Knesset in the Galil is full of Batei Knesset in the time of Bayis Sheni. In any event, according to the Ran, the Beit Knesset is a Cheftza, a Chalos of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash Derabbanan. Now that's going to be a very, very big problem for us. In a second I'll get into that. The Ramban is against that. The Ramban says it has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. Nothing at all to do with Beis HaMikdash. And it's nothing but a place to daven. It's a place to daven. So, like you can take you have a shofar, you want to do a mitzvah with the shofar, you have a Reuven and Esther, you do a mitzvah with that. So you want to have a place to daven. So we have in halacha something called huktza l'mitzvaso. You can take a place, you can take a cheftza, an item, and dedicated to do a mitzvah. So this is a place which is miyuchad, muktza, it's dedicated to the mitzvah of tefillah. And the fines, and muktza machmas mitzvah is also only a din drabanan. The only thing which might be muktza machmas mitzvah deraisa is the schach of a sukkah. K'shem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga, kach. So the only thing which might have Kedusha's mitzvah, the Raisa, is a schach of a sukkah, but not a lulav and an esrig, not tzitzis, all these things with the Raisa. You do the mitzvah, basically there's no special status to the chetza. The Rabbanan created a din of muksa machmas mitzvah, so I'm not allowed to remove it from the mitzvah, I can't be mavad. The Gemara says, it can't be mevaza, the chefza shel mitzvah, you can't insult it, you have to treat it nicely. But this is the dinim drabbanan. So the Ramban says, What's a Beit HaKnesset? A Beit HaKnesset is a makom huksa l'mitzvah tefillah. It's been dedicated for tefillah. And the Rabbanon, this is what it is. It's a cheftza, a tedin, a chalos, the Rabbanon of mitzvah, muktza to the mitzvah. But it has no kedusha as base of mikdash at all, the Rabban says. Not at all. And he has a, I'm not going to go through the riots that they have, but he has a pretty strong case in terms of, because the thing is, you're allowed to sell a Beit HaKnesset, and under certain situations, if the whole community gets together, they can take the money of the sale and use it for general public affairs. They don't even have to use it for another Beit HaKnesset. You can use it for whatever you want in a certain way, the Gemara says, and even build a tavern, or show say Sheikha. People need some public parking, so you can sell the shul. If everybody in the town gets together, says you can't trust the mayor and the city council for such a monumentous decision. But if we're at a town meeting and everybody shiver to their ear, b'mamet kol anshei o'ir, will decide to sell the shul and build a parking lot, so they can do it. So Ramban says, if this is a base of mikdash to Rabbanan, they'll be crazy that people could just get together and sell it and turn the money into a public works project. So he says, you have to just say it's a question of a mitzvah. So we know mitzvahs operate, mitzvahs end. I mean, after Sukkot, I take my esrog and I cook it and I have some esrog jelly. So people decide the shul has outlived its function. We don't need the shul. Just built another shul. This is the old shul. People are moving out of the neighborhood. All the Jews are leaving. So we'll sell it and we don't need another shul. We'll take the money and build a public garage. The mitzvah is over and do something else. The Ramban says, that's the way I understand it. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvahs come and mitzvahs go. The Ran says, no, chas v'shalom. How can you say that a shul is just a mitzvah, a plain mitzvah, and it comes and goes? Can't be. A shul is a makam kadosh, it has kedusha. And this whole question of how can it possibly be that everybody in town can get together and sell the shul and then take the money for some public works project? So the Ran says, listen, it's a base of Midrash mid Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon gave us a way out of it, that's all. The Rabbanon are practical people. They know that shuls don't last forever. Jewish neighborhoods are changing. People move on, so you have to do something with the shul. When you have a base of midrash sitting in the middle of a rack for the next 500 years, and no more Jews left. So get the people a chance to sell it, get the money out, and do something else. So they'll build a youth village, and they'll sell the shul in Baghdad and build a youth village in Israel. You do something good for the general public. So I say it's a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The Ran says, I say it is. As long as the shul is functioning, this is a Mokum Mikdash Ma'at. It's a small Beis HaMikdash. But it's only Midrabbanon, so we can get out of this. The rabbis gave us a way out. So you have a Machlokas Ramban and Ran, whether it's a Kedusha of Mitzvah, Kedusha, Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, Kedusha of Mikdash, but both agree that the Kedusha of a Beit HaKnesses is a Drabbanon, not a Deraisa. However, in the Rambam, we have a very serious problem because the Rambam apparently feels that it's a Kedusha Deraisa of Beis HaMikdash. Because the Rambam, when he quotes that halacha, is probably one of the most famous halachas in the Rambam, that you can bring Kabanos Bezman HaZeh without a Beis HaMikdash because the place, the makam is still Kadosh Deraisa. That mountain has a kedusha deraisa. He quotes the pasuk Hashimosis Mikdashechem. Afal pi shem shamamim b'kedushasam hem omdin. But that pasuk, the Gemara, he quotes that same pasuk in Hilchos Tefillah when he quotes the dinim of Beis HaKnesset. He quotes that very same pasuk because the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah uses the pasuk for a destroyed shul. If a shul has been nebuch burnt or destroyed for some other reason, so the makom has a dinim. You have to treat the makom of the Beit HaKnesset with respect, even though it's charev, even though it's destroyed. And the Mishnah quotes this pasuk, Hashimosim et Sheichem, and the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Hilchos Tefillah. So for the Rambam, this pasuk is not an asmachta some mnemonic device. It's a very serious pasuk. It's the same exact pasuk he quotes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira to bin Kabanos. In Beis HaBechira, bin Kabanos is the raisa. You can't be magdash a carbon if it's on, there's no Beis HaMikdash. You're going to violate a very serious avera called Shchut Dechutz. You're shechting Kabanos without a Beis HaMikdash. It's a chi of kares. So the Rambam, it's like eating on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam lets us bring Kabbalah as manazeh. That means the Rambam is convinced that this is real, that this is a real Kedusha Doraisa up there on the Har HaBayit. So, and he quotes that very same pasuk in Hilchas Tefillah when he says when the shul is destroyed or burnt down, we have to have respect for the Beit HaKnesset. He quotes the pasuk as Shemos Mitzvashechem. So the Rambam wants us all to read the whole book, the Mishnah Torah. Clearly, he feels that there's a din d'oraisa in the kedusha of a Beit HaKnesset or Beis HaMikdash. And there's another source for this also. There's a special lav not to destroy a part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Loisasim Tein L'Hashem L'Kechem. It says you should destroy the houses of idolatry in Israel. Mizbechos, Mizbechosam Titotsu, and destroy Shireim Tisafun Ve'esh. Lo sas and kem Hashem lekechem. Don't do this to God. So we're not allowed to. So Ram Paskins, someone is notates Eben Achas. It's a famous thing that Moshe Feinstein has one of the most, really, in a certain way, it's funny, but it's really sad too. Tshuva. Someone writes to Moshe, Shaila, says he just came back from Israel and he chipped off a piece of rock from the Kotel. And he came home, he's showing people this beautiful piece of the original Western Wall. He chipped off a piece of the rock of the, and I don't know how he did it, he must have had a drill, right at Chesnish. And he drilled, he took a piece of stone out of the kotel. He brought it back. And he says all his friends, he thought he's going to get so much honor that he's bringing back a holy stone from the holy wall. And all his friends are berating him and saying, you're no good, you're a thief. He says, what's going on? It's a wonderful thing. I'm bringing a holy stone back to my house. It's going to inspire people. Why is the rabbi so upset with me? So he writes, I'm going to write to you. You're the greatest rabbi in the world. Explain to me, did I do the right thing or not? So Moshe Feinstein writes him back. He says, you violated the law of the Torah. Lo sasen kem Hashem lokechem. You are an accessory to the crime of the Romans and anybody else who follows them. The Arabs who do it nowadays, of destroying a Beit HaMikdash. You're buying a lav deraisa. Every second you have that stone, you're in sin. And he says, if everybody would, just think, he says in his letter, he says, just think, if everybody who goes to Israel as a tourist would do what you did, we wouldn't have a Kotel Maravi after a few years. Everybody takes a piece of stone. Before we know it, there's no more Kotel Maravi. What did you think, he says? You think you just go and chip away the stones of the Kotel Maravi? So, as I say, it's a funny tshuva, but also very sad. The Rambam is quoting the same pasuk about the kedushas makom hamikdash, which he has in Beis HaMikdash, he has in Beit HaKnesset. And the Rambam therefore paskins, and this is black and white, that if someone goes and takes an axe or lights a fire and burns a shul, he violates the law of the Raisa of Lassas and Kehem Lashem Mekechem. It's black and white in Sefer HaMitzvos and also in Mishnah Torah and the list of mitzvos. He paskins that there's a law of the Raisa to damage a synagogue. It's a lav deraisa. So here it's a kedushas beis hamikdash deraisa. Okay, so how, we don't really know how he's going to get out of the problem of selling the shul and everybody agrees and the money then gets spent on public works projects that needs a hezber, because the Ramban and the Ran are saying, no, obviously this is, you never could do that to the Beis HaMikdash, despite what President Clinton peace plan, that, you know, the below the ground is Jewish, above the ground is Arab, and we make peace. halachically, you can't trade, you know, this part of the Beis Hamikdash for that. You take this piece of land and pay me for that, and I pay you, and I give you the Beis Hamikdash. You can't do that because it doesn't belong to us, really. It belongs to Hashem. If Hashem wants to give it away, he brings the guy in, and they take it away. If he doesn't, if he gives it to us, it belongs, we should take care of it for him. But in the shul, you can do it. So the question is, if the Rambam Shita is that a shul has a Kedusha Deraisa, like a Beis Hamikdash, how in the world the Jews go ahead and sell shuls and use the money for something else? If all the membership agrees, basically, if all the members of the shul sit down and agree, you can sell a shul and take the money and give it, I don't know, for weddings in Israel, or help orphans, terror victims. You're allowed to do that. So it's a Kedusha Deraisa. Jews can't sell a Beis Hamikdash. Maybe off your rocker, I think you can go sell a Beis Hamikdash. So how can anyone go sell a shul? That's the Ramban's point. That if it's a Beis Hamikdash mat, how do people go ahead and sell it? So the Ramban says it's a din de Rabbanon. The rabbis gave us a little bit, but according to Rambam, it's a din de Raisa. How can you do such a thing? Yeah.
Well, in case of Beis Hamikdash, I mean, but Kedusha is not the Hamikdash. So you can't sell it. You can't just transfer it. But even if you say that Kedusha is Beis Hamikdash, the people are choosing where to put it. So maybe that gives them the cost to, what should I say, unchoose where to put it.
It's a good point. That's good. That's good. Yeah. What are you saying? Okay. Okay, that's good. That's a good point.
Oh.
Right, that's also good. Yeah. Right. Right, that's true.
Actually,
yeah.
The question was,
right. Well, it's not as simple as, you know, your answers are good and they're definitely on the right path, but it's not as simple as you make it sound, because the Rambam does paskin that if a Beis HaKnesset is destroyed, the place, you have to treat the place with respect, the Kedusha, whatever it is still there after it's destroyed.
Because
nobody unshows it. No one unshows it, right. So the answer is like this. I want to develop what you're saying. There's another din which is really very difficult according to the Rambam, and that's the following. The Gemara says, I'll go for another 2-3 minutes. If you want me to go on, right, finish this off. Then we'll get the heart and soul of this. So, the Gemara says that, the Gemara has a very interesting discussion, Masechta Brachos. The Gemara is like this. If somebody, I saw this when I was a young boy, I don't know if people here have ever seen this. The Gemara says that in a shul, you're allowed to spit on the floor. So I was a young boy, my shul was full of refugees from Europe, and we had there a 95-year-old Lubavitcher Chassid who came over. So he was 95 in the year 1950, so it means he was living in Russia a long time. So he had a habit that he didn't blow his nose into a tissue or a handkerchief. He blew his nose onto the ground, onto the shul. And an American, I was appalled. I never saw in my life someone blow his nose onto the ground, spit on the ground. It's in the shul all the time. Then I found out that the halacha says it's permitted. It's permitted. In the old days, they didn't have tissues. So people used to blow their nose on the ground. So the Gemara Brachos discusses this question. Are you allowed to blow your nose onto the ground of the shul, spit on the shul? The Gemara says, you're allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it's definitely not allowed. So how come a Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to spit on the floor, and in the Beis HaKnesset, we're allowed to spit on the floor? So the Gemara says, the reason is because a Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem. It's God's house. You have to treat it with a lot of respect. You can't spit on the floor of God's house. However, a Beis HaKnesset is Beis Cha. It's Beis HaKnesset. Knesset means the community of Israel. It belongs to the Jewish people. So what do people do in their own house? If you're a Jew living in the year 1000 BCE, what do you do in your house? You have tissues? Who has tissues? You have handkerchiefs. I mean, you know how long it takes to wash a handkerchief? It's ridiculous. You spend 7 hours washing it and drying it. How many handkerchiefs do you have? You know, you have to save them to blow your nose once a day, twice a day. You blow your nose like we throw away tissues every 5 minutes. I blow my nose. You have to use up 100 handkerchiefs a day. It's ridiculous. Imagine you have a cold, you have a flu. So what do people do in their own house? They spit on the floor. They blow their nose on the floor. So the Gemara says, the way you do it the Beis Cha, you can do it in a shul. A shul doesn't have more than your house. Whatever honor you do in your house, you do in a shul. But the Beis HaMikdash, it's different. Therefore, the Rav told us that he had nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have tissues. Anyway, this Lubavitcher Chassid, he was blowing his nose on the floor. I guess that's what they did in Russia. They didn't have tissues, and they blew their nose on the floor. So, he was the last guy I ever saw do it. But we have modern day problems. We have modern day shaylos. Modern day shaylos in a shul. What's the halacha? A guy walks into shul. It's a hot summer day. He's wearing. He just finished playing a tennis match outside with his friends at Bungalow Colony, and he's also. And it's time for daven mincha. He runs into the shul. He doesn't have a shirt. It's full of sweat. He's wearing shorts and sneakers. That's all he has on, and he's all verschwitzt. Can he walk into a shul and pray mincha like that? Or is it disrespect for the shul? Would we let such a person walk onto the Beis HaMikdash? Definitely not. You can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash like that. Could a guy walk into a shul like that? So, I remember Rav David Lifshitz itself, we had this problem here in YU about 20 years ago. 20, up to and including today. We have boys, when the weather gets hot, they start wearing shorts. Let's say around May 1st, it goes to about 75, 80 degrees. So the boys start wearing shorts. So they start coming into class with shorts. They start coming to shiur with shorts. So David Lifshitz, the tzal, he made us have a Rosh Yeshiva meeting. And all the Rosh Yeshivas get together at Balam Barosh. We have a major problem, boys with shorts coming into the yeshiva. So we had a diyun, and we all decided that the kavod of the yeshiva is like the kavod of a shul. It's not a Beis HaMikdash, but it's like a Beis HaKnesset. And it has to have the same respect as Beis Cha, your house. So we decided that in your house, you don't wear shorts. You only wear shorts on the tennis court, but you wouldn't wear shorts in your living room. And therefore, we gave a psak, the Rosh Yeshivas, I think 1970, 75, gave a psak, was posted on all the walls. No boys allowed to walk into the yeshiva building, means this building or the other building, wearing shorts. Well, I don't know if some boys kept it, and some boys still come in with shorts. And the signs from our psak doesn't go up every year, but I don't know. But when I went to Israel, I remember I went to Israel many years ago, and it was on Kibbutz Lavi. So I walked into the shul in Kibbutz Lavi. Every person was wearing shorts. The whole kibbutz came from the fields and the daven mincha in shorts. So the teretz has to be, it's all a function of Beis Cha. What do you do in your house, or let's say your culture, your place? In the kibbutz, people are wearing shorts. So that's how the shul is. You can wear shorts in shul. In New York City, just recently, I noticed that men are starting to walk around in the hot summer day in the 40s and 50s and 30s downtown wearing shorts. Women stopped wearing clothing a long time ago. But I'm talking about the men. The men were always dressed, at least slacks, jacket. Now I see they're starting to wear shorts. So maybe Taka, it'll change, you know, because Beis Cha, I want to say, Beis Cha doesn't mean your bathroom, what you dress in the bathroom. Beis Cha says how you would dress if you had an Oreya Chashuv, an honorable guest will come visit you, how would you dress? If you had a Chashuv, a man, a business associate, would come in, doesn't have to be the President of the United States, but Adam Chashuv, would you wear shorts? So in Israel, in kibbutz, they would. they definitely would. They would wear shorts. If the prime minister came, they would wear shorts. So for them, that's okay. But for us, I don't know. So anyway, there's halacha beischa. So the question is like this. If it's a beis hamikdash, why do we have these rules of beischa, of your house? Deal with it on your own house. So you have to say like this. And this is the answer to all the questions according to the Rambam. To say like this. It's called Migdash Ma'at, a small beis hamikdash, according to the Rambam. So what does it mean Ma'at? Either it is or it's not. It is, but in a miniature, somewhat reduced beis hamikdash. The answer is like this. What is beis hamikdash? Beis hamikdash is a place for Ashras HaShechina, where God's presence is there. Now, God, we can compare him in this halachas to a person, Lahavdol. Sometimes a person is in his own house, sometimes a person visits somebody else in their house. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem. That's God's own house. That's His house. That's His palace. He's there all the time. And He's there in the most visible way possible on earth. So therefore, there, our reaction to that is Yira. Mikdashi Tiro. Have Yira. Because you're mamish in Beis Hashem. You're Lifnei Hashem in the ultimate Gilui, the ultimate expression of His being in the world. Beis HaKnesset is Beis Knesset Yisrael, belongs to the Jewish people. The Jewish people made a house where they invite Hashem to come to our house. He comes into our house and He's there as we talk to Him. So we invite Him in and we talk in prayers and song to God. But it's not His house, it's our house where He's present in our house. It's Beis HaKnesset. Therefore, it gets a Kedushas Migdash. It's a makam for the Shechina, but it's Ma'at. It's not the makam of Beis Hashem, His own house, where He's Tamid all the time. He's Beis HaKnesset, the house of Israel, where He comes and goes. Therefore, it's a lower level. It's a lower level, and therefore the whole Kedushas. And therefore, the Din of Kavod is what we do in our house for an Arei Chashuv. How would I behave in my house if a chashuv or a reich came? So Kadosh Baruch Hu is an anav. So He says, treat me like you would treat a regular honored guest. Don't treat me like the super king of the world. Just treat me like a regular person. How would you treat a normal chashuv, a chashuv yid, another contemporary of yours? You would wear long pants. You would wear a tie. Remember, there's a whole issue in yeshivas, the daven, with a tie, without a tie, all these things. The law of Beischa. So that also explains what we said before. How can all the people in the city get together and sell it, and all of a sudden the Kedusha goes away? The answer is, if it's not our bias, we can do what we want with our bias. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu stops visiting because it's not, we're not inviting Him. Okay, Ad Kan Shkayach Mishbizaycha.
Have a room.
The Gemara's worried. The Gemara's worried that it's not going to be built. So they made a takana.
I also remember in the second Megillah they talks about in terms of selling a shul to goyim. So
I think it's like this. That even though we can really do the whole thing, but because it once was a shul, so therefore you still have to keep a certain memory of that alive. So you can't sell it. Even though you can't completely, let's say, turn it into the house as a tannery or a garbage dump, because once was a shul, it wouldn't be respected like once was. So that's a low level limitation. It doesn't mean that there's any kedusha or any mitzvah left to the
A lot of shuls have sold to
what they do is they'll sell it to an intermediary.